If you go to Cairo, Egypt, which Cindy and I have been able to do that back in 1984, you can see two extremes there besides the Great Pyramids. In fact, I have a picture here, and you probably can't see the two people there in the middle of the picture because of the big rocks, but this is the base of the Great Pyramid and some young skinny couple that was visiting there as tourists a long time ago. But besides those pyramids, and of course they are one of the wonders of the world, besides those pyramids, there's two extremes that I'm referencing. One of those extremes is the museum exhibit of King Tut. And you've probably heard of King Tut. He was a boy king. He died when he was 17 years old. He was buried in a tomb with all of his treasures, thousands of artifacts of solid gold. And he was thinking he was going to be able to take all of that with him into the afterlife. And boy, was he mistaken. All of his treasure was still right there. When they discovered his tomb in 1922, it's a reminder to us that we can't take our treasures with us. Now, there's a second extreme that I read about or heard about just recently that's in Cairo, Egypt, and it too is a tomb, a gravestone. But it's very unknown. It's not been kept up very well, but in that cemetery, you'll find a tombstone that reads William Borden, 1887 to 1913. And this is William Borden's picture. He was a very wealthy young man. I read about him, even this morning, I read a little bit more about him. He was born into a very wealthy family. That's how his wealth was inherited, but it talked about in this day and age, you're talking 1887 to 1913, he had about $1 million to his name. That was a lot of money in that day and age. And he was a Yale graduate, so he had the education, he had the clout, and yet he threw all of that away because he wanted to take the good news of Jesus to the Muslim world. And I'm sure there were people who questioned his sanity. From a worldly viewpoint, he had so much going for him, and yet he just gave it all away. He was seeing the world through a different set of eyes. And so he invested his life into missions. And he went to Egypt for the purpose of becoming a missionary. And his goal was to go beyond Egypt on to China. But his life in Egypt took a turn for the worse. He was there only 4 months as a missionary. And he got spinal meningitis and died. Just 25 years old. And the inscription on his tombstone says this: apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. Wow. Let that sink in for just a moment. Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. The world has a hard time figuring out Christians. We see things differently than what the world sees. We think differently. Our values are different. Our ways are different. Our morals are different. If we are not different from the world, then something is wrong with our Christianity. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Cindy and I just recently were watching an episode of The Chosen, season 5. Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. And his thinking was entirely different than how the world thinks. The world thinks that greatness has to do with superiority and being on top and having people underneath your rank. But Jesus, on the other hand, he was seeing things differently. He had a different definition in mind for greatness. His idea for greatness was to serve, to give of himself, to lift others up and to meet the needs of others. And he called his disciples to that same way of thinking. And you know what? His thinking hasn't changed a bit over the centuries. His ways haven't changed. He's still calling his disciples today to think the way he thinks. Jesus was all in with his service to God. William Borden was all in with his service to God. You and I are called to be all in with our service to God. And know this, that kind of thinking goes against the grain of the world. And not only does it go against the grain of the world, it goes opposite of our own personal tendencies. We kind of like to be on top too. We like for people to serve us, but Jesus has called us to a different way. He's called us to serve others. And so let me give you some reasons why this morning that we should be all in with our service to God. First of all, it's Jesus' way. As he washed his disciples' feet, this is what he said to them, and I quote, this is from John chapter 13. He said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And this is really how he lived his whole life. He washed the feet of other people. Constantly, he was meeting the needs of others, sometimes to the neglect of his own needs. Mark chapter 6 says that so many people were coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. Now, I have to confess to you, I don't miss too many meals because I'm taking care of other people, because I'm meeting the needs of other people. I do a pretty good job of making sure that every meal is attended to. But Jesus, this is how he lived his life. And you may remember when he was at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4. The disciples had gone into town to get food. They come back. They are bringing food to Jesus to eat. They're trying to get him to eat. And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know of." And they questioned him about that. He explained further, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus was all in with serving others. He lived that kind of lifestyle. And this is what he taught his disciples and those of us who would come after them. He's taught us that same lesson. Listen to what he said to his disciples. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Wow, that's a message that you will never hear from the world. James and John came to him and, you know, they're kind of influenced by the world's thinking at this time. They're saying to Jesus, "Lord, we would like to sit on your right and on your left when you get into your heavenly kingdom. Would you let that happen? We want those seats of prominence. We think that would be pretty awesome if you gave to us, if you promised to us those two seats of prominence. And Jesus said to them, you don't understand what greatness is. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. It's not about the one who sits in a position of authority. It's the one who gives of himself to others. It's the one who dies to himself. Hear these words from Matthew 16, verse 25. But whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's Jesus talking. And then Matthew 20, 28 from the New Living Translation, it says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus lived this kind of life of service to other people. He taught this value of servanthood for you and me. So I'm wondering, are we grabbing a hold of that message? Are we putting that message into our life? Are we all in with our service to God? Here's a second reason to be all in with our service to God. Our service gives evidence of the faith that we have. Think about that. Our service gives evidence of the faith that we have. I heard the story of one preacher, a true story. Every Sunday after he'd preach, he'd go to the back, stand at the door, shake people's hands as they're going out the door. One day, a guy named Matt, who looked like he'd lived a hard life, he's leaving out the door, shaking the preacher's hand, and Matt says this, Pastor, I want you to know that my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? Well, it kind of took the preacher off guard. He didn't quite know what Matt was getting at, and so he's kind of, you know, thanks, Matt. See you later. God bless you. So Matt goes out the door. Next Sunday, same thing. Sermon's over. Preacher's standing at the back door. People filing out, shaking his hand. Matt shakes the preacher's hand. He says the exact same thing again. I want you to know that the answer is yes. To whatever question you have, what question do you have, preacher? And finally, the pastor says, Matt, what do you mean? What are you getting at? And Matt said, you know, I did a lot of bad things in my life, and I hurt a lot of people. I had addictions. I betrayed my wife. I hurt my kids. I caused so much pain to a lot of people. And when I hit bottom, a friend invited me to this church. And I came here, I heard you preach about the grace of Jesus. I wasn't sure that could be true for me. But after a few months, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and he has changed me. And that's why I want you to know that my answer is always yes, because of how he changed my life. I will always be available to him. And Matt, if there's anything you want me to do, if there's anything that you need for me to do, the answer is yes. Whatever it is, you need me to mow the churchyard? The answer is yes. You need me to help with a single mom, give money to her to meet her need? The answer is yes. You need me to drive a widow to church? Whatever you need, my answer is yes. You just let me know what the question is. Our service gives evidence to the faith that we have. And it's a great response to his grace. He's poured his grace upon us, and he has forgiven us of our sins. And sometimes that service to him is in the confines of this building, within these walls. Maybe our service to Jesus is working in the nursery. Maybe our service to Jesus is volunteering in children's church. Maybe our service to Jesus is helping run the sound or the slides on the computer. Other times, though, that service is outside the walls of this church. Obviously, there's only so many jobs within the walls of the church, but the jobs are endless outside the walls of this church. And when we do them in the name of Jesus, we have eyes that are open and ears that are open and a heart that is open and willing. And we say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. If somebody needs a meal prepared as they're coming home from the hospital, I will do that. Lord, if somebody's been through a storm and they're needing some help at their home, I will be there for them. Lord, if there's somebody that just needs a word of encouragement, I want to be the one to give that word of encouragement to them. Lord, you show me and I will go. I will do for you. We need to be all in with our service to Jesus. The question is, what is he calling us to do? Just keep your ears open. Keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open, and he will lead you. Our service to him is evidence of the faith that we have in him. If we are not serving him in some capacity, then we better reexamine our faith. And someone might say, well, Kevin, I have served him all my life, and now I'm grown older, and I can't do the things that I used to do, and so what about me? There's always an opportunity for you to pray, isn't there? There's always an opportunity for you to encourage someone. There's always an opportunity for you to send a card, to send a text, to send an email, to make a phone call, to be an encourager to those who are in need. There is a need for service from each and every one of us. What's the book of James say? Faith without works is what? Dead. And so look for the opportunity to have your faith alive in service to Jesus. Let me give to you a third reason that we should be all in with our service to Jesus. There is joy in our service. I referenced earlier John 13, where Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. As he's finished with that washing, he then stands up. He gives them some words of encouragement, some words of instruction, and I've read some of that to you already today. He's saying, as I have done, so you are to do to one another. And this is his conclusion to that teaching. He says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. That's John chapter 13, verse 17. The Good News translation says it this way: now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice. You with me? You hearing that? I'm wondering, are there some here today who are living life without joy? That you just might, maybe you feel like the joy is gone. The joy is missing. Maybe if you gave more attention to serving others, you would find more joy. Because joy comes from serving others. I remember last fall, a number of guys from the church, and I think several of them are right over here in this area. Scott back there at the sound booth. Last fall, we went out and we cut wood for an older couple in the church. I know I was the oldest one in the group. And these guys, these other young guys, were like machines working, cutting wood. And I didn't think they were ever going to quit. And they about worked me into the ground. But I kept going. I really wanted to keep going. I just went at a slower pace than some of them. And boy, did we sweat. I did anyway. I sweat like crazy. My shirt was wringing wet with sweat by the time that day was getting through. And I had a sweatband around my forehead. I sweat a lot, and that stuff gets in my eyes, and I can't see anything. I can't do anything. So I wear a sweatband on those kinds of occasions. And I could just wring that sweatband out. And I was worn to a frazzle that day. But you know what? I felt so much joy. Just the joy of serving, the joy of us being together and doing something for somebody else. And we work together for the good of a brother and sister in Jesus. And we were doing it for His glory, not for our own glory. But I tell you what, I felt joy. And some of you guys, I bet you felt joy. Surely you went home tired that day. And yet we felt the joy of the Lord. And if you are looking for more joy in your heart, the pathway to finding more joy is to serve others. To get out of yourself and to get into the service of the Lord. I remember after the tornado went through Bernal and then on into Nevada, this particular day, there were three of us that met up with one another for service. And it was Scott, it was Elijah, and it was myself. And we were helping a farmer rebuild his fence southwest of Bernal. And it began to rain early on as we were working in that field. And I mean not just a little rain, not just a drizzle. It began to pour on us. And we talked and we decided that we would keep on working in the rain. And we were drenched. We were walking through water ankle deep that was just laying in the field. And the conditions were awful, but we kept on working. And we worked probably for 3 hours in those conditions. We built probably at least a quarter of a mile of fence in those conditions, and I couldn't have been more wet if I had dove into a swimming pool. I was dead tired by the end of that day, and yet I had such a joy in my heart over what I was doing. It was for His glory. It was to help a person who was in need, and that farmer, all he could do was just shake his head in wonder and he couldn't believe we continued to work in those conditions. You know what? Those were two occasions in which I felt physically I had reached the edge of my limit, and I was so tired on both occasions, and yet I had such a joy in my heart of being able to serve in that capacity and in those moments. And I honestly think back over the last year, I would have to put those two times towards the highlights of my personal year of just being able to serve somebody else and the joy that it brought back to me. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody here today who's thinking, you know, my life, where's the joy gone to? Well, maybe you need to get out of yourself and look for somebody that you can give some service to in the name of Jesus. And I bet the joy will come back. It's a godly principle. Jesus said it to His disciples. What I have taught you today in washing one another's feet, He said, blessed are you, happy you will be if you do the same to others. I'll give to you one more reason to go all in with your service to God, and I will make this point brief. The church cannot function efficiently without each of us doing our part. The Apostle Paul compared it to a human body. Every member of the body has a special function, different from the other. And if that member decides to take a break, the whole body feels the deficiency. Isn't that true in the human body? I want you to think about this for a moment. If my elbow decided to quit working, it'd be kind of hard to feed myself, wouldn't it? All because the elbow says, I'm taking a break. I've done enough. I'm going on vacation. Couldn't do it. How about trying to just put on a pair of pants? Put on a shirt. If the elbow quits working, the whole body feels the effect of that. Same thing, if my big toe decides to quit working, to take a break, I'd have all kinds of problems with balance. I was looking on the internet here in preparation for this. What's the big toe do for us? And boy, the big toe does a lot. In providing balance and providing stability for our body. It's the big toe that helps in the pushing as we're walking, as we're trying to move forward. The big toe serves a very important role in pushing the body forward. If the big toe takes a break, we're in trouble. And my point is, any time one member of the body quits working, the whole body is affected. And likewise, that is true in the church. If one member decides that they've had enough, they have done enough, and they are going to quit working, the whole church feels the effect of that. We need every member of the body to be functioning, to figure out what their part is, and then to do it faithfully in service to God and for His glory. And when you're functioning, the rest of the body's going to be blessed by that. No people standing on the sidelines thinking you don't have anything to contribute, because you do. Every one of you have something to contribute. You are special to the body of Jesus. You may not have an upfront position, a visible position. But I tell you what, Patrick Mahomes is very vulnerable if he doesn't have a left tackle to protect him, doesn't he? Isn't that right? Not everybody's in a quarterback position, so to speak. Not everybody is in an upfront position, so to speak. But every person in the body of Christ is needed. Because when you're not functioning, the body feels the deficiency. Everyone in the game, giving our all in service to the Master. Would you say this with me, please? Together, all of us, all in, all the time. And today specifically, we're talking about this, all of us, all in with our service to God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be willing to serve, to be looking for opportunities to serve. And if we just can't figure that out, help us to have the courage to talk to somebody about, hey, what can I do? How can I fit in? Lord, we thank you for Jesus and his example to us. And he was a servant, the servant of all. And so help us to have that same mindset, to get rid of the mindset of the world, to die to that kind of thinking, to be alive to his kind of thinking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.